and the questions that we discuss are all new questions that didn't exist. About many of them, it can be said, the questions are old questions. But since this is a group of smicha students, many of whom are going to be called upon to make important policy setting decisions in their communities, so they have to have a grounding in some of the areas which beset the typical community today. And the fact that these problems are old does not make them any less contemporary. Given this background, I understand very well why they asked me to speak about something called Zmani Hayom, a topic which, as they say, is as old as the hills, goes back to the very beginning of time, topic of time. What does the day begin? What does the day end? And what other responsibilities does a Rav have in establishing policies for his community? That's what we're discussing a little bit. Obviously, in an hour and a half, we can't only scratch the surface of a topic which would take weeks to really analyze properly. But nonetheless, some very basics. If you'll take a look in the Makoros, I see we have two hands tied behind our back because page number one was never copied. That's pretty bad. They're missing the first page. Oh, but luckily we can make up some of it in page seven. Please tell the committee that they forgot page one. Page seven is the other half of page one. There seems to be a contradiction between two sources. One is page one, Shabbos Lama Dal, which we do not have. The other is page seven, Psachim Tzadi Dal, which we do have. What is that? Take a look at the Tosis, second Tosis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishkia Sachama Tesekochovim, Arba Milin, 4 mil. What do you mean mil? A mil is a measure of, it's a linear measurement. All right, a mil is a linear measurement, correct? How many amas make a mil? Anybody know? Come on. 2,000, excellent. So we have to know how big is an amma and you're home free. We don't know how big an amma is, you know, approximately. And we also don't know what a mil means for our purpose. For our purpose, a mil is a measure of time, not of distance. Of course, if you can figure out a certain pace, you know that time and distance are related to each other. Okay, with that background, it's 4 mil between Shkiyas Achama and Tzoltes HaKachol. Koshler Rabbeinu Tam. This is the question which shook the world. The Besol Pamem Adlikin Omar Ezu Ben Hashmoshes Mishetishka Achama calls Manche Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. And the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Tlosa Riva Mil. 3/4 of a mil, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Here Rabbi Yehuda himself says 4 mil. It's a contradiction with a big C, capital C, of over 5-to-1 ratio. With me? Because one has 3/4 of a mil, and one has 4 mil. I mean, it's way off. You can't say it's just an approximation. Way, way, way off. Says the Gemara v'yeshtosis v'yeshloma, remember, the context of the sugya and psachim is astronomical. It's all about astronomy, about the how tall, how big the world is, how high it is. It's nothing to do with halacha, this whole sugya. It's an astronomical discussion. So there we're discussing how long it takes from the time that the sun sets beneath the horizon until Tzeis Kochavim. That's 4 mil. Fine. V'hosam, in Shabbos, which is a halachic discussion, ka'amam is sof shkia. What does sof shkia mean? We're not going into the astronomy. When the sun ends its sinking beneath the horizon, from that point, which is the critical halachic point, until Tzeis Kochavim is only 3/4 of a mil. Therefore, to summarize, I'm going to take a typical day, which the sun rises at 6 a.m. and sets at 6 p.m. Typical day, right, which today exists in New York, but a typical day around the equinox. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, at 6 o'clock, it's not considered to be nightfall. Until 7 o'clock, approximately, just throwing approximations, it's Vadayom. So if the sun sets at 6 o'clock on Friday, according to Rabbi Natan, you can drive a car till 7 o'clock. You know, you're allowed Shabbos. And he would say, what do you mean? My name is Rabbi Natan. I'm allowed to drive a car now. Okay. That's until you reach a point which is, we'll call it 3 1/4 mil after the time the sun sets beneath the horizon, the time it's printed in the New York Times. That's considered to be Varayo. Then 3 1/4 mil after that time starts what we call the period of Bein Hashmashes, twilight zone, neither here nor there, which is Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. And then 4 mil after the original setting of the sun beneath the horizon, that's what's considered to be Vaday Laila. Are there any questions? Raise your hand now. This is the famous Rabbi Natan. World famous. You must have heard people say, well, I keep Rabbi Natan's man. You usually talk about Motzei Shabbos, right? I keep Rabbi Natan's man. This is what they mean. This is the Rabbi Natan. This is it. Okay, so everyone understands it right now? Rabbi Natan's man. Is there an alternative? You know, you look at far and wide in the Rishonim, and you will not find an explicit alternative to Rabbi Natan. Well, someone says Rabbi Natan is wrong, never heard of it, it's ridiculous, and it's not the way we accept. No one talks that way. I guess Rabbi Natan was such an influential figure. Not only that, not only did the Chachmei Atosis fall in line, the role of Chachmei Sfarad fell in line. You know, of course, Rabbi Natan was just a few names, the Ramban, the Torah Sodom, followed by the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ravid, the Ran, you name it. Ritva, they all called the Rabbi Natan, and seemingly going along with him. So Rabbi Natan's Shita became accepted in many circles. However, you get a feeling that it was never unanimously accepted, and Rabbi Natan was a Chiddush in his time, and before that, and even after that, in certain parts of the world, they never accepted. Where do we see explicit opinions contrary to Rabbi Natan? See, the truth is you don't really find it until fairly recent times. The Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Lubavitcher Rebbe, were the two of the, we'll call them the activists, if I use that term, not quite in the modern sense. They're the ones who said Rabbi Natan is completely erroneous. Hachush Makhish is against everything. And they went back to a different opinion. What's their opinion? Their opinion was already quoted, I'm not sure if they even knew about it from that quotation, in the Shut Maram Al Ashkar from the earlier Gaonim. The Gaonim lived 1,000 years ago, and if you look in the Cairo Geniza, as it's quoted by a certain Sinikar, Smaran Ba'alocha, that's what it says there as well. So we'll call it the Shittas HaGaonim. It's probably the opinion of the Rambam. I've never heard of Rabbi Natan. You never find it anywhere. So what is this other view? This other view is cognizant of this contradiction, but resolves it in an opposite fashion. This is the way they say. 6 o'clock when the sun sets beneath the horizon, it says in the New York Times, that's Bein HaShemoshes. That's the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. For 3/4 mil, whatever that means, X number of minutes, it's considered Bein HaShemoshes. Once you're 3/4 mil after the sun sets beneath the horizon, that's called Vaday Laila. Vaday Laila? Nope. So the obvious question becomes, what's the Gemara Pesachim talking about? Gemara Pesachim is talking about 4 mil. 4 mil is so much later. Says the Gra, this 4 mil has nothing to do with halacha. This is an astronomical phenomenon. It's called Seis Kol HaKochavim, when all the stars come out. Come on, here's about astronomy. It's nothing to do with halacha. That's the Vilna Gaon's approach, which is presumably that of the earlier Gaonim, of the Alter Rebbe, of the Rambam, of the Maram Al Ashkar, and a whole series against Rabbi Natan. Any questions? Please feel free. Yes? Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. So the Vilna Gaon asks against himself, how come nobody can see stars in Vilna, whatever it is, 3/4 mil after the time of the sunset? Can't see anywhere. Just can't find it. Says the Vilna Gaon, I know you can't find it in Vilna. Go to Yerushalayim. That's where you'll find it. The Gemara is given in Yerushalayim or in Bovel, which are more or less the same latitude, much closer to the equator. There, says the Gra, I give you my word, you'll find stars 3/4 mil after the sun sets. Now, living in Vilna, there was no one who could check up, but the Talmidei HaGra emigrated to Eretz Yisrael, and they saw right away, as you all know by now, that it gets dark much more quickly in Eretz Yisrael than it does in New York. You might build it, which is much higher. Did you experience that when you went to Eretz Yisrael? Hey, wait a minute. It's getting dark quickly over here. Close to the equator. Okay. This is our first and most fundamental dispute as to when the day ends. Very fundamental. When the Shabbos begin, when the Shabbos end, of course it affects how when you daven. Many, many, many things are affected by the machlokas. Good.
When does Rabbi Tam begin the formula
from? Same time as printed in the New York Times. Astronomical sunset, when the sun sets beneath the horizon.
The same time as the
Christ. Oh, they all start at the same time. They all end the same time. There's a formula afterwards, although we'll see later some details. The question is only, there are two parts to that. There are two parts. Everyone, let's say it's 6 o'clock, okay? It's 6 o'clock, okay? So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you have 3 1/4 Vaday Yom, and then you have followed by 1/4 of we'll call Ben Ashmashes. And when you have here 3 1/4 here's a 4 mil mark, and the 4 mil mark is what he calls Lila. This is Lila. And what is this Lila called? Today is Hakofa. This is, so what is this called Rabbeinu Tam? He calls this, what do you call it? Sof Shti. This is Rabbeinu Tam's prayer. Everyone see it? The handwriting's poor, but you can really read the chart.
So,
huh?
The 4 mil starts after the 3/4 mil, 3/4 mil after the day.
No, not called Rabbeinu Tam. 4 mil starts at 6 o'clock, right here. This is where the sun sets, right here.
So,
this is 6 o'clock.
So, the 3/4 mil is what?
It's 3 1/4. You read it? This is 3 1/4. This is 3/4. Equals 4. The Gra is the other way around. The Gra has the line drawn over here. Call this, well, I don't know. This is 3/4 mil. So this is what's called Tezak HaKhafer. Right here. This is Shkia. And here, the Gra says Kol. Which is an irrelevant tilalof. So according to the Gra, this is Ben Ashmashes, and this is Vaday Laila. Okay? It's Vaday Yom, Ben Ashmashes, Vaday Laila. Everyone see it? Is it clear? This is the most basic dispute of all to know anything about when the days come in and go out. Yes, sir?
It's one thing I think I heard somewhere that.
Halacha measures when the sun is completely eclipsed beneath the horizon.
I think so. The New York Times may measure from the middle.
Maybe. So by a minute or so. Okay. I don't think that was true either, but it takes 2 minutes, 2 point something minutes for the sun to set. Top to bottom. It's a reality. Okay. So we have let's get the basics, then we can start pilpulling. We got the basics? Okay. Take another step. How long is a mil? Obviously, it's relevant. You make a clock. Yeah, well, how long is a mil? Anybody want to make a suggestion?
18 minutes.
18 minutes. Where'd you get that from? The matzahs, of course. 18-minute matzahs. The Gemara says in Pesachah that the sheer mil to make sure that there's that the matzahs don't become chametz. And we know it's 18-minute matzahs. That's the smallest shear for mil, obviously with Machmir and Pesach. The smallest shear is 18 minutes. Okay? 18 minutes. If 18 minutes is the shear, we understand, this is the math. You're going to run into shear like, 6 o'clock will take you, according to Rabbeinu Tam, for 72 minutes, will be 7:12. Right? 72 minutes. 18 times 4 is 72. With me? According to the Gra, so it's such a tiny amount of time. 13 1/2 minutes. That's 3/4 of 18. Rabbi said a sefer came out called Hazmanim v'Halacha. came out a while ago in Eretz Yisrael. Choshev Arav from Bnei Brak, very Choshev Talmud Chacham. He had a friend in the army, or a Talmud, who was on, you know, sitting there in the middle of Midbar in Eretz Yisrael. You know, middle of the night. You sit there. He said, "You do me a favor. You're sitting there so long. Of course, you're looking for the enemy, but also look for stars. And tell me, you're in a completely unlit area. There's no natural light. There's no pollution. Middle of the desert. And tell me how long it takes you to see stars. Three stars on the horizon. There's three stars anywhere in the sky. How much amudas chacham do you have, Rabbi? What's to be the answer?" 14 minutes after sunset, he saw three stars. No. The Vilna Gaon would say, "Of course." Well, no, that wasn't Eretz Yisrael. And even people in Eretz Yisrael never saw stars so fast. Rav Tukhachinsky was the one who was the measurer. He said, 20-something minutes. He said, "Oh, the Vilna Gaon made a mistake." So, there was a man, Rav Yehuda Levy, Professor Leah Levy, who wrote a sefer on this Jewish chronometry. He said, "I find stars in 15 minutes. He found stars in 15 minutes. He's a professor. He had a telescope. Not that he saw the telescope, but he knew where to look. So he said, "Yeah, that's cheating." He knew where to look. This guy didn't know. He was a soldier. He had nothing else to do but look for stars. He found stars in 14 minutes in springtime. It changes with the seasons. Springtime. So therefore, that opinion is, you can't reject that view and say, "Nah, it's against it." It's not against anything. It exists. Okay. Question the other way around. How can a man at times say it takes, let's say, 72 minutes, we'll see some maybe even more, 72 minutes for the stars to come out? Look out the window, he sees wrong. Even in New York, even with the pollution, even with the light, you still see stars way before 72 minutes. Question. So there are different approaches to this question. The Sefer Minchas Kohen was bothered. He said, "You know, I'm living in Amsterdam. Here I can see stars in 50 minutes. But you know, I'm sure if you go to Yerushalayim, it'll take you 72. I made a time said so. Unfortunately, he never made it to Yerushalayim. It's the other way around. So that terrace won't work. So the Sama, Mr. Brewer quotes it in Bialocha. He said, "Well, look, Rabbeinu Tam agrees. If you see three stars, whenever you see them, that's called Vaday Laila. He's only giving you numbers when you can't, when it's cloudy." That sounds to me like a very, that's a cop out. I don't think it's true. Rabbeinu Tam seems to say it's a real shiur. So the best terrace, the only terrace I really know about that works, is based upon the Rav Yoh. If you look carefully, it says that Rabbi Natan's three stars have to be seen in the western sky, in the western horizon. That's based on a Gemara. The Gemara tells us the place to look for the simonim of Yom Valayla is in the western sky. So therefore, Rabbi Natan only looks to the west. He does not consider anything which is in the east. So, hold on. It's page 3. On page 3 it says, I think I made a mistake before. Page 1 is not really missing. Page 1 is just the Maram HaKomos. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Because page 3 has the other Tosis. The Tosis tray goes through the same thing we spoke about before. But in page 3, also you see that the Gemara says that Abaye Chazal the Rabba the Kodavi Lamarov was looking to the western sky. We're not going into all the Pratim, so therefore it's arguable that you're looking for stars in the western sky. There's a sefer called the Oros Chaim by Rav Druk, which was printed some 50 years ago in the Holy City. And I believe he said it took him, so he saw three stars in the western sky in the springtime. He didn't even see it in 72 minutes. It took him 90 minutes. Where'd that come from? 90 minutes, where'd that come from? So the answer is that how long a mill is not at all clear. Without going into every mathematical calculation, you can see a little bit back on page 7 from which we began. On Okay, please, if you don't mind, page 7. The Gemara on page 7 says, Kama Mahalach, throw the way down. Kama Mahalach Adam Beinoni Bayom Yud Parsos. 10 parsos is 40 mil. There's 40 mil in a day. The big question is how you measure the day. We're not going into Pratim of the Sugi of the time. The question is the day measured from sunrise to sunset? And there's 40 minutes there. Or no. Maybe the day is measured from, we'll call it dawn till dark. What is dawn? Dawn is what's called Alos HaShachar. The Gemara discussed over here how many mil it is between Alos HaShachar and Neitachama and sunrise. The Gemara says, let's look carefully. Take a look at what we just left off. Me'alos HaShachar ad Neitachama arbas milin. Mishkiyas HaChama teskochovim arbas milin. Etc., etc., etc. So again, you have 4, and then you have at the end 4, and a total of 40. What mean a total of 40? What does a total of 40 mean? So at the beginning, the Gemara is saying that what? Ovil Sharakia Echad Me'asara Biyom. What does that mean? 4, 40, and 4. 4 mil from dawn until sunrise. 40 mil from sunrise till sunset. And again, 4 mil from sunset till all the stars come out. What? Well, it's the used expression of 1/10, which the Gemara has, means that the, we'll call it the twilight zone, both at the beginning and end of the day, which lasts 4 mil, is 1/10 of the main part of the day, from sunrise till sunset. If that's the case, Rabbi Osei, how long is a mil? I don't have a computer on his watch. Oh, yeah. Huh? What? How, the average day is, we know, 6 to 6. 12 hours, 720 minutes. It's a little arithmetic. Okay? So what's 40 into 720? Come on, guys. What's 4 into 72?
18.
Yes, excellent. Hence the 18-minute mil. That's where the calculation, that's where it comes from. 18 minutes. I think Gemara is a teretz, which again, it's hard to go into what it means in the Maskana. The Vilna Gaon understood it to mean Maskana, that no, yeah, your calculations are wrong. It's not 4, 40, and 4. Rather, it's a total of 40. 40 from dawn till dark. So you have 4 at the beginning, 4 at the end. So then what do you have left in between? By higher mathematics.
32.
Excellent. 90 to watch for this one. What's 32 into 720? I don't expect you to be able to do it in your head. What's, no? You have an old watch like mine?
22 and a half.
On the computer? Yeah. Good, thank you. 22 and a half. Hence, the 22 and a half minute mil. This is a very popular sheet in Halacha. And I believe Rabbi Natan holds that way, as a matter of fact. Now, this you can do in your head. What's 22 and a half times 4? 90. That's pretty easy. 90. So if that's the case, what's going to happen according to Rabbi Natan? If the sun sets at 6 p.m., when is it really going to be Seisa Kochavim Lahaloch when it's Vare Laila? Not 7 o'clock. Not 7:12. Rather when? 7:30. 7:30. This, I believe, is the opinion of Rabbi Natan. This is what they call, in brisk language, an achtel. Yiddish phrase. An achtel means what? Come on, who's a little Yiddish? An eighth. It's an eighth of the day. Very simple. 90 is 1/8 of 720. Now why call it an achtel? Just call it 90 minutes. Ah, no. 90 minutes is in Yerushalayim in the springtime. But it has to translate differently for every latitude and every season. So that's pretty you can imagine that's going to be a lot of time.
So wait, 90 minutes like Shalos Manios?
I don't want to use the word Shalos Manios. Shalos Manios is a misleading term. That means we divide the day based upon how many hours are in there. No, it's based upon degrees beneath the horizon. Figure how many degrees is the sun beneath the horizon at 90 minutes after sunset in the spring in Yerushalayim, and you extrapolate that to wherever you go. So happens the amount of degrees for that is 19.8. Now, what does that take you? In New York City, Rabosai, I'll take the longest Shabbos of the year. In end of June, the sun sets at 8:31, towards the end of June, and the day is very, very long. 19.8 degrees beneath the horizon will take it from 8:31 all the way until. Who wants to give a guess? Who wants a guess? 10:40? Good guess. 10:55. That means you can't do malacha according to this poskim until 5 to 11 in New York. London, that I've been discussing. Talk to you about London. Or Vilna, for that matter. As a matter of fact, the Gros Kash against Rabbeinu Tam is a chush matkish because you end up with no nights. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there's going to be no night. Yom Bosh ain't a lo yom lo laila. That's when Mashiach comes, not now. There's no night. As I said to you before, Rabbeinu Tam is not universally accepted. There are many people who disagree with him. The Gaonim Shita, we'll call. In my view, these Gaonim disagree on the mill too. And they say the mill is only 18 minutes. I think I said what we called before 4, 40, and 4. We said before. So, therefore, how many degrees does somebody derive? Much less. 16.1 instead of 19.8. That makes a big difference. For those who don't follow Rabbi Natan, it's sort of irrelevant in terms of the Tzeis HaKachavim. Because they hold, we reject Rabbi Natan, that Tzeis HaKachavim is when 3/4 of a mil after the Shkia, 14 minutes in the Midbar in the Eretz Yisrael in the springtime. You extrapolate that, even to New York in the summertime, not that long, 20-something minutes. It's relevant, of course, for Alos HaShach. You'll say, who cares about Alos HaShach? I'm sleeping Alos HaShach. I never saw the Shach in my whole life. Who ever saw Alos HaShach? Yeshiva boys sleep right through it. Well, it is relevant, for example, for when the fast starts. For those who were brave, hardy souls to get up to eat, or for you guys who stay up to eat. The world gets up to eat. You guys stay up to eat. Right? So when is Alos HaShach? So in my shul bulletin, you have to prepare shul bulletin for your balabatim. So I just saw, I should have brought it with me. I just saw a rough copy before. I have it inside in the other room, other building. It says, Song with Dalia, fast begins. You have to know, when does the fast begin? It says, fast begins. I wrote the time, which is 16.1 degrees beneath the horizon. It's printed all the charts now. They have all these, Ma'iz Manim and all the, you know, all the Luach HaTorah of HaMitzvah. See, there's so many different things. That's as much as I printed my calendar. I say, Rabbi, why you tell me this fast starts so early? The other shul starts 15 minutes later. What the other shul do? They started the fast 72 minutes before the sun rises. After all, everyone knows that's 4 mil, 4 times 18 is 72. Why are you so strict with us, Rabbi? I say, I can't help it. What can I do? That's my Mesorah. Not 72 minutes flat. Depends upon the latitude. It also depends upon the time of the year. Right? So that's how it is in my shul. It's an earliest man. I give him a big break. If I follow the Achtel, I'd have to give him a much earlier man for this fast to begin. 19.8 beneath the horizon. Who knows when that's going to be? Especially Shavuos and Thomas in the middle of the summer. Woo! 3-something in the morning and fast already starts. Okay, Rabbi Ossi, with me so far. Yes?
Could I explain again the relationship between degrees beneath the horizon and time?
The Mepharshim explain that the way to discover equivalencies of when Seis or Alos should be, for those who don't live in Yerushalayim in spring, is to figure out how many degrees the sun is beneath the horizon at that time and place, and to extrapolate it to other times and other places.
So it would be a ratio. Yerushalayim, the sun is
when it started 16.1 degrees beneath the horizon. That's 72 minutes in the springtime. So that's the sun. That's the sun. And Yerushalayim itself will be later in the summertime. And in New York will be even later. Really? Yes, sir. That's a good question. The Vilna Gaon, in a sense, said it. But the Vilna Gaon depends upon the, you know, where you are. That's how he explains why you can't see stars after 13 minutes. 14 minutes. Where are they? Because we're living in Vilna. In Rishonim, it's very little. There's very little in Rishonim. Almost nothing. There are those who say 72 minutes flat. I can't argue with them. That's I can see it flat. But it's hard to be makel that way. Yes? No. Okay, Rabosai, you with me so far? So I'm asking you, Shaila, do we follow Rabbi Natan nowadays? The answer to the question is no. Brisk is follow Rabbi Natan, for real. There are very few of them. Chassidim, say they follow Rabbi Natan. They keep 72 minutes, but they keep 72 minutes in New York in the summertime, which way we understood it really would not be enough, but okay, they hold 72 minutes flat. It's hard to argue with Chassidim Bechlal. And it seems to me that the fact that we don't keep late Zmanim, 5 to 11 in the summertime, indicates that we, generally speaking, are relying upon the opinion of the Gaonim and the Gra and the Alter Rebbe and the Rambam, etc., etc. Until World War II, there were still communities in Europe that followed Rabbi Natan even le kula, is they would still drive their cars or horses, whatever it was, on Friday after the sun set beneath the horizon, believe it or not. Since the war, Nebuch, these communities were decimated, and the Satmar Rebbe came to New York, he wanted to keep those old customs, and you can't do that here, no one here on Friday does any malachi after the sun sets. He said, you know, I'll make you a deal. I will follow your majority opinion and tell my Hasidim not to do malacha after the sun sets on Friday. To my knowledge, that's true in Williamsburg. It may even be true in Kiryas Yoel. That I'm not sure. That's an insular Satma community. I'm not sure what they do there. Anyone ever been there for Shabbos? You were there? Lagbom hasn't helped me. But I would have to be at Shabbos. You were there?
Yeah. I mean, they
don't.
Mincha,
mincha.
But they stopped doing a lot.
They do. That's what I thought.
That's what they were.
Yeah. Curious go.
Yeah.
There's not much more insular than that. So that means the Satmar Rebbe's word was kept. But he wanted, the Rebbe was a very smart man. He wanted a deal, wanted a broker a deal. What happened? Apparently before the Rebbe came, this is what I'm not sure, I can't vouch for this, but that's what I was told. Before the Rebbe came, there were very short zmanim for Motzei Shabbos in America. They filed the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that 13 and a half minutes. So, you know, I don't know what. So, let's say, argument's sake, a half an hour after the sun sets beneath the horizon, I said, okay, Shabbos is over. The Rebbe's going crazy. It's Babish light outside. What are you doing? Why? How can it be? So they said, well, that's our minhag here in America. We've been doing it for a long time. The Vilna Gaon says, so leave me alone. So the Rebbe extracted out of the pre-war rabbi, that's what I was told, a commitment that they would say that Shabbos is not over until what we call now in America, that's all the calendars print, an hour after Lichtbench. Every calendar prints the same thing. There's no calendar, I'm not sure about the Sephardic calendars, I don't know. The Ashkenazi calendars, none of them print this man for Motzei Shabbos less than 1 hour after the candle, which is in effect 42 minutes, approximately, after the sun sets beneath the horizon. So at least the Rebbe got his 42 minutes. That's what does 42 minutes accomplish? Well, the truth is that 42 minutes after the sun sets, you can see three stars. Maybe not when there's a lot of light and pollution, but you can see three stars, even in New York City, where there's some light and a lot of pollution on a good day, in 42 minutes. Now, we are not people sitting in the desert looking for stars. How long does it take us to find stars in real life? So you can't calculate based on New York City because there's so much pollution. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that I saw, I was sitting on my balcony, overlooking the river, and I see stars between 45 and 50 minutes after the sun sets beneath the horizon. I see three stars. That's the Zman. So I see three stars. That's all. So in camp, in Morashah, we did some experiments. We did it 20-something years ago. And Rabbi Samolovsky Shalita was the Rosh HaMedavrim, and I had to check it out. And we did it again, we repeated the experiment last summer, about a year ago. Same results, in effect. In Lakewood, Pennsylvania, the beginning of June, of July, which is a little bit after the equinox, we found stars at the beginning of July, it was 32 minutes, and then as it went a few weeks later, 31 minutes. That's when we see stars. What is that? What year is that? Well, you know, that's what they call it. Basically, what they call it in Eretz Yisrael, 20 minutes approximately. You know, in Shul, have you ever been in Yerushalayim? 20 minutes after Shkia, when it was Daven Ma'ariv. You know that? It's a minute in Yerushalayim. 20 minutes. Where's 20 come from? Where's 20 come from? Apparently, if you look for stars in Yerushalayim, you'll see stars in 20 minutes. Not the 14, and you found in the Midbar. Because the 14 was someone who was on obstructive view, and there was no pollution, no natural light. It takes 20 minutes or something, maybe a little bit more, to find stars in Yerushalayim in the springtime, and then extrapolates, and it takes it to 20 something minutes in New York in the springtime, and 30 something minutes at the equinox. You know, I never saw that at the equinox proper, so 33, 34, and it keeps going down. That seems to me to be the shear that we should follow as far as Dal Raises are concerned. For the Rabbans, we can follow even a smaller shear. We can follow what we'll call the 14-minute shear, extrapolated, which is less, which is 20-something minutes. When it comes to for Dal Raises, we should be a little bit more machmir, and follow what we'll call the more or less 20-minute shear, approximately in Yerushalayim, 21 minutes. That takes us into the low 30s here in New York. Maybe a little bit less in the springtime. Maybe a tad less. That's what we should do for the right. For Shabbos, we should be a little bit more machmir. We have Tosefta Shabbos. It says in the Yerushalmi, and for Shabbos, not enough to see three stars. You have to see three kochavim, what they call ritzufim, near each other. That takes an extra few minutes. So you add it up. The longest Shabbos of the year, which is in the mid-30s, let's say, and you add a few minutes, so 42 does the trick for you. That's where the Zman of the Satmar Rebbe was apparently aiming for. I don't think he made a lot of calculations. For him, it was certainly not late enough, but, you know, you get what you can. That's what's going on in this country. You with me? Fine. As a Rav and a Shul, my advice to you is to try to be Ma'achim as a Shabbos. Whatever's possible, even if it's not Shabbos proper. So, for example, in my shul, we will not daven Ma'ariv until 42 minutes at least after the Shkia. Minimum. Till you finish Ma'ariv. It's about an hour after the Shkia. So, for example, in my shul, although there's nothing written in the books on it, but it's almost impossible for us to actually make Abdullah strike the match less than an hour after the sun sets beneath the horizon. We try to inculcate it to the Balabat. It's a machmot svin haShabbos. It's bad enough that they're not mamarim lovo, that they're coming running in the last minute, but at least to be machmot a little bit. Where are they running? To the movies? Where are they going? But if you take a shul, you'll find it's a perennial battle. Balabat loves to run out of shul if somehow, I don't know what they're doing. So you have to train them. Even in my shul, I can see there are a few walk out before we make Abdullah. Can't help it. But we try to keep the Zman, you know, to be a little extra till 7 Shabbos. It's proper. Yes, sir? It's true. Obviously, they didn't want to make the distinction between time of year, that the whole community can't accept such things. They made 42 minutes. That's printed in the calendars. And I'm not complaining about that printing. Someone who keeps that Zman, in my view, is Yotze Eschiyev of Shabbos. One of those who follow the Vilna Gaon, Narav Eina Tam. I can't answer. I don't know. But Agudas Rabbanim, whoever that was.
Tari's or not even Tari's Tari, but that would publicize calendars. They're just completely wrong. They're not.
Rabbi Chavadya's Tarif, I'm sure he is Tarif, and I think he's in principle he's right, that the calendar is no better than the people who printed it, and you don't know where it's coming from. But I'm telling you, the 42 minutes man that is accepted almost universally in Ashkenazi calendars in America is okay. What did the Sephardic calendar say? Okay, now they're strong. I've been a Spartan, you've been a Tamar, it's strong.
I don't know if everybody
is
best
publicized on
the
calendar,
since he said
it. I mean, he should push me Mahmoud for himself. Look, I've been in Erzstrom. They're running out of Binyan way before I've been a Tamar. Way before, not even close. Almost nobody's ever been a Tamar in Erzstrom. Even those who came from the European community, they did, they stopped it completely when they came to Erzstrom. The Sefer from Bnei Brak. I forgot exactly his name. He says he makes an observation that if he was from Revel, they'd call him an apokaris. But if he's from Bnei Brak, so he can say it. He said that the reason why the minhag changed because we went from a high latitude to a low latitude. So if you look historically, the further north that people lived, the more they kept their minhag flat. They kept 72 flat. That's how long it took to see the stars. As they started migrating to the Mediterranean basin, territory of Israel, by the time I came and forgot, he writes it, it's printed in the same. It's printed, Bnei Brak. So, okay, whatever it is, bottom line, that Rabbi Natam is not kept in Eretz Israel anymore. And it's kept by the people in America, the Hasidic community. And now the yeshivas became Hasidic, took on all the chumras, so even the yeshivas shevelt, they'll keep the Rabbi Natam 72 minutes. There's almost no one that keeps the real Rabbeinu Tam, in my view, which is 90 minutes extrapolated. Only the briskets. Right. Real, real, real briskets, there's a very few and far between, keep the Zextel. That's 2 hours extrapolated. I can't even calculate, that's too much to calculate. Right? For those who know the sugi here, the Gemara talks about 5 million. Before it gets to 4 months, so it's 5 million. So if it's 5 million, so it's instead of 432 and 4, it's 530 and 5. It's a double whammy. If it's 30, so the mill jumped from 22 and a half to 24, 30 into 720. And then 5 of them. 5 times 24 is 120, it's 2 hours. That's extra, 2 hours, once it's through the day. Rav Dov Soloveitcher keeps that sheet. That's printed as one of the Sfarim Yisrael Vazman. But no one I know personally keeps that spot. I wrote in one of my mom that's against it can't be, and then I finally have to say it really can't be. You should never sell a brisket short. If you look at the back of your packet, they have a couple of my mom which I wrote myself. One is called my Sefer on Brochus Siman Beis, Zmanei Hayom, and I'm just referring you to. I don't have time to read them now. And the one is my Sefer on Shabbos Lamates, entitled Zmanei Hayom, same title, but there's some post office. And for those who want to be really current. In the most recent Kol Tzvi, which came out last year, I have a maimer here which is entitled Zmanei Korbanos Tfilos, which is goes even beyond some of these things. Those who want to look it up, I just not enough time to go into the whole intricacy. I'm trying to be brief. That's what you have to know as a rav in a community. What about the sheer of calculating the hours of the day, Rabbi? When should we daven Shabbos and Shabbos morning? My firm belief is that a rav has an achrayus to see to it that the tzibur davens bizman, and that they say kriya shma bizmana al seder abrochas in the shul. Because if you don't, despite they say I say kriya shma at home, famous last words. You should try very hard to see to it that they should daven bizman. Now, what's man? What's man kriya shma? You may see all the calendars now. They have Mogan Avraham's man. And then there's the, what they call the Vilna Gaon's man. So for the Hasidic calendars, they have the big, bold letters, Mogan Avraham's man. You know, big. And it's like, the sheet is like, well, it's half an hour later. You need a microscope for that. That's how they print all the calendars. But in the Yeshiva calendars, it's the other way around. They have the Groz man, the Hikas man. And you want them a minute of time, Mogan Avraham, it's smaller letters. Since I said to you before, with generally not following Rabbeinu Tam for Tetzkel Chav, was a Shabbat Chachil Skila. It seems to me there's no need to keep the Rabbeinu Tam or Magen Avraham Zman for Zman Krishma. The Chasam Nitzra already said that. And therefore we should keep the Zman of the Groh. What's the Zman of the Groh? 3 hours into the day, which means a quarter of the day, measured from sunrise to sunset. All the calendars print these manim now. And I want to tell you something. Congress must have been paid off by the Vilna Gaon. U.S. Congress. I don't know if you know that. Just the year 2007 started a new chok in Congress as to when they moved the clocks. You familiar with that? No, you don't follow these things. This is the first year that this man is going to, the calendar is going to move not in October but in November. They made it 1 week later. And in the month of March, they already started this year, March 07, they moved the clock 2-3 weeks earlier. So now they changed the clock, I believe now the second Sunday in November, and they changed it back, I believe the second or third Sunday in March. So the standard time is only 4 months, November, December, January, February. Just small, 4 months. 8 months out of the year, just about, there was a summit, what we call a daylight savings time. Maybe bad for other areas of halacha, but for Zman Krishma, it's a boon. It's a boon. Rabbi Sai, if you are becoming a rabbi in the shul, you say, Rabbi, when should we daven Shabbos on Shabbos morning? You say, if you live in New York, this is a very simple answer. 8:30. If you dive at 8:30 now, since 2007, you can make the Zman Krishma every single week of the year, without exception. Oh, this looks good, you know, 9:10, 9:08, whatever it is. You go, hurry up a little bit, you know, hurry up offense. So you can get it in this month. You dive at 9 o'clock, which some shuls do, you miss it more than half the time, I think. That half an hour is critical. It's a reality. So why should we daven 8:30? I had fights with Balabata for decades because I would insist that they daven early when the Zman became earlier. Used to be my fights from 20 years ago plus. The Zman Krishma in New York, remember they used to change the clock the last Sunday in April. The Zman Krishma was as early as, I believe, 8:28. We would daven at 7:50 on Shabbos morning. The main minyan. Oh, Rabbi. Can't do this to me. I'm making a bar mitzvah and it was going to come and die. I said, okay. Krishna Bisman is more important than anything else. So then, I remember, I can't tell when it changed, but I know that 21 years ago, a balabos came to me and said, Rabbi, I know your tricks already with this. You print the calendar before Rosh Hashanah. And then by the time he comes, he said, it's too late. Sama Shanichta Batabas Amelech. Hey, Loshu, I'm coming to you now in July, in August. Don't do it. Daven 8:30 all year long, and they'll say Shema at home. I didn't listen to them either. That was 20 something years ago. I said Congress changed before me. They changed about 15 years ago. They made it instead of the last Sunday in April. I think it was the first Sunday in April. So that made it didn't have to daven anymore at 10 to 8. They always had to daven was 10 after 8. That's all the puruta. And now this year, you know, that's it. 8:30 makes it every single week. Congress is on our side of us. In God we trust. One nation under God. Indivisible. Okay? So that's it's a battle though. Balabata want to sleep late. And that's it. That's why you need a Rav. Rav will tell Balabata what to do. 8? What's that? I don't say 8:30. All week long they daven at 6:30. Such an irony. All week long the Balabata want to daven too early. About too early. I'm just going to have my calendar now for Sukkot. They want to daven at 6 o'clock in the morning. Not so posh to get daven so early. Not only is there a problem of alos hashachar. Okay, we have an early alos because we have we're taking 72 minutes extrapolated, 16.1. But then it'll be shayake. Not supposed to put on make a brach on the talis and tefillin or say yotzer or according to many poskim. So Mishayakir. When's Mishayakir? Mishayakir is the one's man you cannot calculate based on Sukkot HaGemar. There's no basis for it, really. Whenever things get preconceived, it's unclear when it is. They measure the degrees beneath the horizon, 11 degrees beneath the horizon. That's with some 11 degrees. What's that translate into? It's about an hour, approximately. Depends exactly when. About an hour before the sun rises. Till then, you really shouldn't be making a bracha on Talis and Tefillin or saying Yom Teruah. So if you're going to start davening 72 minutes before sunrise, which is the classical alos, even though we thought ours was a little bit earlier, classical alos, hopefully, till you get to Yishtabach, it should take at least 12 minutes. Don't count on that. But it should, in the shul. And then, at that point in time, you can say Yotzeror. And at that point in time, if you wish, you can say the bracha on the Talis and Tefillin, put on an issue without a bracha. You know, when I first came to my community, the very first shiur that I gave, it was still 1973. I was the rabbi-elect in Riverdale. And they asked me to come say a shiur on a critical topic, which was this. What happened was, in 73, there was the Yom Kippur War. And Richard M. Nixon was then president. And he was trying to not be so dependent on Arab oil. He decided to go to all year round, quote, daylight savings time. So the sunrise jumped all of a sudden from 7:20, which is basically the latest sunrise we have in New York today, the beginning of January, to 8:20. And I'm coming in as the young Rav. Rabbi, what should we do? I said to Shia, all the other Rabban in Riverdale came. What? They didn't know, no one knew what to do. So I printed a little kuntra stand for SOY, which I don't know where it is anymore. So I was then afraid to make any, I was silly, I was a kid. I was afraid to make any leaves. So I said, we'll dive in 72 minutes before the sun rises. That's for sure, even according to the Machmirim, that's already after Alos HaShachar. So we'll start davening. So you do a little arithmetic. If 8:20 was sunrise, we'd start davening, let's say, 10 after 7, which was later than normal. They usually dive in the quarter to 7. I made them have to wait 25 minutes. As far as the bracha, talis, and tefillin, I told them to wait until just before the last ashrei, towards the end of davening. Why? Because Rav Moshe has a chumrah de gashir as to what is Mishiyak. He wants it to be, I think, 35 minutes before the sun rises, approximately. So we got to try to get Shashir. We made it a little bit later. Once you're not making the bracha at the beginning, you can make it more towards the end. That's what was going on at that point. These same balabatim, who can't wait to daven in the morning, it's 6 days a week, or 5 days a week anyway, comes to Shabbos, they're very frumian, says in the Ramah. You're supposed to daven later on Shabbos and during the week. They're very machmer in that Ramah. Some shuls daven 9, 9:15, 9:30, quarter to 10, 10. I'll tell you about some of these places. Shalokadim, shalokadim. You should try your very hardest to get this matter to be proper. About Mincha Ma'ariv. What about that? We have Mincha Ma'ariv. So you have to daven Mincha before the sun sets. There's no question. We don't follow Benatam. Benatam, the Chassidim, they daven Mincha way much later. If you don't follow the Benatam, so you have to daven Mincha, Poshim Shat, you should finish one esrei before the sun sets beneath the horizon. That's what Mincha should be called for. If you find in early Shuvos HaGaonim, some say as long as you start before sunset, it's good enough, even though you continue afterwards. That's b'di'avad chasatchak, maybe for the chazan. We should surely try to call Mincha Maishul. We should make sure Mincha is called at least 10 minutes before the sun sets beneath the horizon. Usually closer to 15, or maybe even more, depends on the week, how it goes. So we try to finish the whole Mincha before Shkir, at least at the very least, start the Chazaras HaShatz before Shkir. That's what we do. As soon as Mincha is over and the sun sets beneath the horizon, a minute or two later, whatever it may be, we daven Ma'ariv. Say daven Ma'ariv. Daven Ma'ariv. It's not the stars aren't out yet. The first mission of Shas. First we're learning prophets this year. Me'emes ekoron shema tezek lachavim. You're right. It's probably not the Zman for Kriya Shema yet, but it's the Zman for Ma'ariv. Shmon Esrei. Tefilas Ma'ariv. It's okay. The Rambam explains. And Yon explains on the mission in Brachas, we're learning Brachas. Tfilas Arvis Ein Lo Keva. And the Gemara says Tfilas Arvis Rishus. It's the same thing. The reason why it's Ein Lo Keva, which means it has no set Zman, is because the Rishus. When are you daven Ma'ariv? Well, whenever you can't daven anything else. Ma'ariv is no independent Zman. When Zman Mincha is over, Zman Ma'ariv begins. When Zman Shachar starts, Zman Ma'ariv ends. When is Zman Mincha over, we said before? When the sun sets. The second the sun sets, it starts Zman Tfilas Ma'ariv. Yes, it's true. You're not able to Kriya Shema that early. So you say Krishma again? I thought Marshal goes all year long. We have a Mincha Marav back to back, Mincha just before Shkia, and Marav just after Shkia. That's how Marshal works. I think it's a very good system. For those who want to be a Mach, we have a later minyan for Marav, you know, 9 or whatever it is, after 9, which works all year long to be a later Mach. That's how Marshal operates. Every Shul is different, you know, situation. Yes, sir?
You said if you want to be Mach, that
what? Myriv? Oh, for sure. The couple of important reasons to be Mach. One is, you want to say Kriyashma Bismana Alfedera Brachas. You can't do that if you daven early, because the Kriyashma is presumably before it's Zman. So it's not a perfect ideal. And you may forget to say Kriyashma later on. A lot of reasons why. But they can't hold the oil up. You know, they want to go home. Yeah?
What about the springtime into the longer break?
There is no longer break. But the sun set is the break. It's a 1 second break. Before the sun sets, it's still Zman Mincha. The moment the sun sets, it's already time for Tfilah Smar. That's a major problem in New York in the summertime, especially Friday night. Many shuls have they call it 7 o'clock minyan all summer long on Friday. Sometimes even during the week. That is mamish tarti disaster. What is that based upon? Well, there's a famous opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which tells us that the cutoff form between mincha marv is what we call plag ha-mincha. What is plag ha-mincha? It's an hour and a quarter, for us anyway, we follow the Gra, an hour and a quarter before sunset. Quarter of any time. It's an hour and a quarter before what? Sefer Kachavim. It's only a very short time before the Shkia. For us, it's an hour and a quarter of relative hours before the sun sets beneath the horizon. That's our minute. So you can dive a mincha before that and marav after. Even that you really shouldn't do. But to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, there's a dispensation to dive in, to rely upon the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the plag of mincha is a cutoff point on Friday night. Even though the other 6 nights of the week, you're following the opinion of the Rabbanan, that sunset is the cutoff point. That's something we call early minyan. And Maishul is the same thing. This past Friday, we davened at 2 minyanim. First minyan met at 6 o'clock in the evening, and the second, I think, at 7:25, something like that. The first said mincha before plag, marv after plag, and the second said mincha before shkia, and marv after shkia. Self-explanatory. 7 o'clock is the tarity of the sas, the first host of the shas. Tarti the Sasri. They daven mincha after plag and mar before the shkia. That's no good. You can't have them both in that same time zone. No good according to Rabbi Yehuda, no good according to Rabbanan. So many shuls do it. It's terrible. I've been fighting this battle for decades. Mostly unsuccessful. Yes?
These shuls have no justification. It's just that the Amoraks meet the calendar and that's the end of the story. You can't, sometimes people will look around and say,
I'll answer. I have to be truthful. There were those who claim that the Mishnah Berurah says that you absolutely have no alternative whatsoever to make a minyan. You're allowed to tolerate a tarti d'sasri on Friday, at least on Friday night. Some claim the Mishnah Berurah says. I don't know. That's what's to do with here. In the Sefer Kol Tzvi that I mentioned reference to the very beginning of the shiur, I have a piece about this, about tarti d'sasri. Oh Zion. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says, "Achshav shenagul l'spalal tefilas mincha ad alayla, ein l'spalal tefilas arvis kodem shkias l'cham." So sunset, that's the cutoff point. B'shas hadchak, yochel l'spalal tefilas arvis miplaga mincha l'mal. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but on that day you must have a mincha before plag. But if on that day you daven mincha after plag, you may not daven marav before sunset. Why? Tarti disaster, but also yom guf. And then he says, because them is spalu biyachidi, avot tzibush is spalu mincha. It's hard to get him back. The spalu is filled with tzibul legamri. Hikilu achronim shemutal is spalu arvus samuch lemincha. So today's achronim understood it to me. Mater etarti the sasre for tefillah b'tzibur. They ask a kasha, it's against the Mishnah Berurah himself in two other places. is exactly the reverse. That's the kasha of Mefarshim Es. Who they ask? Today's the Achron Piskei Tshuvas, a beautiful sefer that came out from Shalayim. Rav Nevenzal has a Mishnah Berurah, B'Yitzchok, that's he. Also the same kasha. And they end up with a kasha. They end up with a kasha. They have no terrors. They have no terrors. So ironically, here's my play on words on the same page, it's 15. There's a tar de disasri in the Mishnah Berurah, according to them. And whether you're allowed to have a tar de disasri or not, it's a tefillah b'tzibur. Here they claim he says yes, and two places later he says no. In my view, there's no tar de disasri in the Mishnah Berurah. He never was matir tar de disasri. Never. Never. The only kula the Mishnah Berurah said he can rely upon is that you can daven marah before Zman Kriyashma. Kedav Mar before Zman Kriyashma. Mincha now, Mar after the cutoff point, whatever the cutoff point may be. Maybe it's sunset. Maybe it's Plaga Mincha. Maybe it's even according to some postgame, what we call here, what do we call it? Sof Shkia or Shkia Shnia. But there has to be a cutoff point. No cutoff point, in my view, that Mr. Bruno doesn't work, even if it's Fila B'tzibur. Better than Bichitz. That's my take. Yes, sir. Not a tarde disaster. We daven 6 o'clock mincha. I daven myself 6 o'clock mincha this past Friday. We daven mincha 6 o'clock. Plaga mincha, I think it was 6:16. So we finished mincha before plag. Then we did Kabbalah Shabbos. Then we daven mar. Then we came home. And after we benched, we said Krishna. Yeah.
What's the situation?
You know,
community had a tarde disaster and Erev Shabbos. I know.
In theory, it would be better to have a Mar B'Yechidus, but it doesn't work out with your hosts. So you have a Mincha B'Yechidus. That you can always do. The best
thing.
Oh, that's another possibility. But if you have hosts, it becomes problematic. But in principle, Mincha is more important than
Mar.
Right. If I were you, if up to me, if I had a tithe in the Sassari only, I would have a Mincha with them. I can daven Kabbalah Shabbos with them. I can sit there with my parsha Shavua while they're davening saying Ma'ariv. Go home, make Kiddush, wash, bench, and then daven Ma'ariv afterwards. The Mogen Avraham allows it. The Gro doesn't allow that, by the way. But the Mogen Avraham allows it. No, but that's what I would do if I was in that kind of situation. What do you do? No choice. That's what I think. Yes, sir?
I heard somebody was having a quarter of the quarter of
correct. Pash Demo.
So therefore, it
very sharp. You know what he's saying? Maybe you should get that the Ramban and Pash Demo suggest that the Daven B'Tzibur is a Dindar Reis of the Kroy Kodesh. Better Daven Marav B'Tzibur and Daven Mincha B'Yechidus. The unfortunate sad fact, my friend, is that the Mikroy Kodesh does not take place that much on Friday nights. People are all over the place. They're still here, they're a little there, Daven home as well. The Farhesa, the Ramban told me it's probably Shabbos morning, so it would probably be good enough to fulfill it in that fashion.
I think it was
a fact. Oh, you're a fact. He says what he said. The Paskut. Yes.
So in Yerushalayim, 40 minutes before Shkia, they light candles, and certainly before Chag Mincha for the Mayan Avraham.
Much? Much before.
Is that no one even take that into consideration since the Brahma Batal is like candles?
That's a very good question. It's an excellent question. How can we follow Rabbi Natan? So the Chassidim are caught in between a rock and a hard place. Right? They want to follow Rabbi Natan, and then they're taught, well, but you can't light candles after the Shkia anymore. You gotta light candles before Shkia after Plagg Mincha. How much time they have between them? According to the Ramban claims that from the time of Plaga Mincha until the astronomical sunset is what he calls Shtus Mil, 1/6 of a mil, which is either 3 minutes, at most 4 minutes, and most likely for our purposes 3 3/4 minutes, which is 1/6 of 22 and a half. So you got to get it right in there, right? Just to not put light candles. No one advises anybody to do that. You're playing with fire, which Chalila V'chas needs to do rice. No one is told to light candles less than 4 minutes before the sun sets. I tell people that 5 minutes, you shouldn't do any malacha within 5 minutes of Shkia. First of all, you need 2 minutes until Sefer Shabbos. Where's 2 minutes come from? Well, it comes like this. The Mishnah says in the Sefer Shabbos, "V'chulam beis hilul matirim im ha-shemesh." As long as the sun is shining, you can do malach. No, what happens until Sefer Shabbos? You have to say pshat im ha-shemesh when the entire sun is still visible. The mandatory till Sefer Shabbos, we can restrict 2 minutes. Who said 2 minutes? Rav Moshe and a tshuva. Some lady threw Rav Moshe in a car and was driving from his house on the East River to the FDR Drive to MTJ, which is a pretty far walk. It was an older man. So they drove 15 minutes before the sunset. They drove him to Yeshiva. Some lady wrote him a letter. Rav Moshe, Rav Michal Shabbos. My calendar says that Lich Benchen was 4:30. And at 4:35, I caught you in a car on East Broadway. What's the matter with you? You're Michal Shabbos. Yeah. There's a printed tshuva. I mean, that letter's not printed. But Rav Moshe wrote back, I'm sorry, I feel bad. He justified himself by saying, you know, really, Shabbos, the sun only set that day at 4:48. And really, you can do Melachah technically till 4:46, till 2 minutes before. And I was in the car at 4:32. So, the body says, since you said this, I will stop doing it. The one yenter, Rav Moshe, stopped going to a car at that hour. Can you imagine? Go to Lador, on the Lador. So he started davening when he got older in his apartment. Now, so he couldn't walk. And they wouldn't let him drive. So they said he was Michal Shabbos. So he started davening, not in the yeshiva. Ask him, am I from the Lower East Side? That's the chronicles, they'll tell you that the story is true. Anyway, so that's what I think about this. Good? There are other times you have to know, you know, what time is what. People ask me, when is the fast over? I always get that, when's the fast over? So the only time I will ever print a Zman in any way related when the fast is over, in any way, is I print this Zman on my calendar for Shofar on Yom Kippur. Says shofar is print at a time. What's the time? It's a fairly short time. It's probably even shorter. Most that 42 minutes that we spoke about earlier. At most, maybe even a little bit before that. Chutzpah, satan rebbe, less than 42 minutes. The answer is people are fasting. It's hashtigol sakonas tafashas. We try not to extend fasts longer than we have to until we finish davening ma'ariv. Thank God, my shul is a kind of a shul. They don't run out to eat as soon as they blow shofar. Some shuls, they had to postpone the shofar till after Marek. Once they blew shofar, there wasn't a minyan left. My shul is an Orthodox congregation. We blow the shofar, everyone stays unless those are really sick, and until they finish Marek Yom Kippur, it's again and it's about an hour after the sun sets. It takes a long time of Marek. We don't run through the Marek most of Yom Kippur. Slow davening. Okay, so it says shofar, it's written shofar is 42 minutes or so after the sun sets. That's what's printed. But I'm going to ask another question before Yom Kippur. So we're done. Rabbi, when is the fast over? I never answered that question. I never answered. I said, when is it over? When you go home for shul, it's when it's over. So when do we daven marv? So we'll daven marv after a fast as a rule a half an hour after sunset. Why so late? I would daven even earlier. We daven so late, frankly, because of Kriya Shema. Because you know, people that daven, they're going to repeat the Kriya Shema that night, probably. So they want a half an hour, so it's a pretty good Zman. So on a Friday night, we daven Marv, typically, you know, during the regular year, half an hour or so, after Shkia, for the same reason. It's a Kriya Shema issue. So I say, it's about Torah, but it's good to have about Torah anyway. But I don't tell them when the fast is over. Really, really, push comes to shove, you can eat before you even daven Marv. The Rabbanon, and some say Ben Hashmosh is Bichlal Mutter on these quote minor fasts. So there's a lot of room to be made. So I don't want to impose chumras on people. So I just that's what I do about that Zman. Do you have any questions before I proceed? Yes.
Is there any issue of eating breaking a fast before daven Marv? Just daven Marv and
Mutter. Yeah, you can't find everyone thinks you got to have Marv earlier. That's what I think. Yeah.
Didn't the Rashi say that you didn't know that the tiny hills are when they break the balls, therefore you should wait with that? You should wait with the Marv and Ben Hashmoshos?
There are no fasts today with the Rechabos. Even the Rashba agrees. Faket. The Rashba says, the fair is not.
Oh, right.
Because today it's Ratzel Mitzanah, Ratzel Lo Mitzanah. Even Tisha B'Av is only with the Rabbanan, even though Ichbulu Butzara is at the Chuvah Sabne Nezer. So there's room to be made. Yes, sir.
Even
from the
Ramban says that even today is considered
Tsaros,
and therefore all the
Ramban never said that. Ramban says Rotsa Masana, Rotsa Mayasana. Okay. Ramban said that technically speaking, optional.
Okay.
Technically, not the myself. Brisk is all fast, but except for them, we consider it to be mandatory for it. Kiblu call Yisrael Aleh. Huh? This is don't fast some Gedalia, Sarah Batavis, Shavasa Batamas, they don't fast. No, I'm telling you a Kiddush. It's obvious that the Torah is brisk. But if you want to keep the cool, you have to keep the Chumras too. They can say to be a Chumras. Ach, ich bin amach, ben pikuach nefesh. They're like a Chaim, they're amach. That's the story, it's not what we're talking. Okay, so Rabosai. We've been discussing some of the details of this very, very important rabbinical responsibility of setting a calendar. I believe it's important to set the proper times. It shouldn't be, you should try very hard to set an early zman for davening on Shabbos morning. 8:30 does nowadays does a trick, basically all year long. Davening Marv Motzi Shabbos, you should try to daven Marv not less than 42 minutes after the sun sets, way till they actually finish Marv. Probably be close to an hour, maybe even more. After this, depends how fast what you say. Just to have a little extra tosef for Shabbos. Mincha should always be davened in time to finish the entire mincha before the sun sets. Ideally, Maariv can be davened in a pinch right after Shkia. Machmirim on a wafer's man Krishma should daven, have the late minion later on. During the summer on Friday, you want to have an early minion, it's permissible, but should be attached to the Sasri, should be before Plaga Mincha and Maariv thereafter. Those are the basics, man. Fast day, should begin 16.1 degrees beneath the horizon. Any zman you can think about that we haven't, that are in your calendar that we haven't spoken about yet, please, I'm always open to things. Oh yeah, Mishayakir. So Mishayakir is about an hour before the sunrise. That's the Ikar zman. You should take that into account when you make the early minyan. Look, there's room to be makel and even an earlier zman. Tosin brachas av gimel, only brachas. Tosin says that they have alosa shachar, and until you turn around, it's already Mishayakir. The very early, regardless, it takes 6 minutes from a loss to Mishnah, only 6 minutes. So in a pinch, you can rely upon that. Those who don't answer too many questions. So as long as you start davening a little bit after a loss of Shachar, you should be okay. We try to make it a little bit later whenever possible. All right? Yes?
When we stay up all night, it's kind of related. When we stay up all night and we do brothels and sorry, at what point should that, and wash, navel wash, at what point should that be done?
It's a very good question. In an ideal world, at Alos HaShachar, you should stop the clock. Everyone should wash and then open the Tehillah Sadaim and then Berachas HaTorah. That's not the minig. The Shavuos night, the minig is that you keep learning and you keep and as you get ready to daven Shacharis, that's when you wash the Tehillah Sadaim, that's when you make Berachas HaTorah. And I believe it's justifiable, even though some recent posts have disagreed. They say to stop on the dime at Alos HaShachar. I think the minig of Israel is the correct minig. That's beyond our shir. That's Nichlus Bruchas HaTorah Shem. Yes, sir. Nichlus Gedola is a half an hour after Shkia, but after Chatzos, but then half an hour of Shos Manis. I don't know that's true. Who said so? Tell me that's true. It says in Bruchas of Chavav Mebeis that Mincha Gedola is 6.5 hours into the day, and Mincha Ketana is 9.5 hours into the day, then it's Plaga Mincha, then it's Laila. If you don't go with Zmanis, it doesn't work. It's just not going to happen. So that's why I assume it's Zmanis. You could argue and say that the rice is limited to a case of an equinox day. You could argue if you want. But it seems to me that the Ikar Zman is the is the Shas Manis. So of course in the summertime that's a Chumrah. You can't daven 30 minutes after sunset. You have to wait 37 or 8 minutes after Chatzos. You have to wait 37 8 minutes after Chatzos. In the winter, it's a leniency to follow Shos Manias. Chatzi Shos Manias is to be less than 30 minutes. It's a little, I believe, is 20. I can't tell what the first number is. 20 something minutes after. Maybe 23 minutes. The hour is only 46 minutes. That can happen in the dead of winter. I believe you can be making on that shot. Be machmer both ways. I can't stop. Yes, sir.
What time should, which like version of Sefer Kohanim should you use for Kiddush on Shavuot? So like based on night.
All the Rabbanan and the Gedinim, in my view, you can follow the more lenient view. I think I wrote it down here somewhat. I did some of the calculations. Let's see. What's the calculation? I have it written over here. This is on page 23 of your packets. So on the top of the second column, based on the cheshbonos that we made, so we said that the bucky, the girls, you follow a bucky. Yerushalayim, it's 15 minutes, all right, and 18 and 21 in the summer, and that if you go with that malach in New York, based upon the calculation of the angle, it's 18 in the spring and 21 in the winter and 25 in the summer. That to me is the ikashita sagra, and for the rabbanas, I think we can rely upon that. All right, so for you know what I mean, to well, everything you mentioned, I think is the rabbanan.
Yeah, I think
Shavuos is the rabbanan. To me, this is a minig, not even a din. So you want to daven ma'ariv 25 minutes after shkia, it's good enough for me. But for the daraisas, I think we have to be a little bit more ma'ariv. That's in the previous column. So I quote Rav Tukhachinsky, and. In New York, it came out to 26 minutes in the spring and 32 in the winter. The winter is longer than the spring and 34 in the summer. And I point out that when we checked it out in camp, it's true. We see that it's true. So I'm really more concerned about the derice of Kriya Shema than anything else, because not everyone is going to repeat the Kriya Shema. That's why I try not to daven Ma'ariv as a rule until like a half an hour or so after the sun sets. This way, you know, except for the peak of the summer, until you get the Shema, it's already going to be after the Zman. All right, that is my Zman based on these calculations. Right. Any more questions? Okay, so we have a few more minutes. We can go now. We can till now we're just giving basic halachot. Now we just give a few little extra ha'aretz. The thrust of this maima that I have in front of me is that the three machloks that we spoke about are Hobah HaTalia. Let's review the three machloks. One, Rabbi Natan versus the Gro. The very thing on the board. Two, how do you calculate the shiurim, like Zman Krishma? Do you calculate from Alos to Tseis or from Shkia, from Nates to Shkia? According to Rabbi Natan, it's alos to tzeis. That's what we call the Magen Avraham Shita. According to the Gra l'shitasa, it's from sunrise to sunset. I explain why. Number three, my big chiddush is it's haba tayi what the shear mill is. According to Menatam, the shear mill is 22 and a half minutes, and according to the Gra, it's only 18 minutes. And that's the thrust of this part of the matter. There's much more to be said. You cannot go into the details. The reality is that there are a number of different opinions. Some say we don't follow Shos Manias at all. We follow what we call the Shos Shavos, flat man, 60 minutes, some say. Some say that we follow that the real hour is not an hour of 60 minutes, but rather it's 1/12 of the day, but the day, quantum amount of time, starts at 4:30 a.m. That's Alos HaShachar, an hour and a half before 6, and ends at 7:30 p.m., which is an hour and a half after the sun sets beneath the horizon. So the typical day will have what we call 900 minutes or 15 hours. But you take those, that amount of time divided in 12. So every hour is not going to be 60 minutes, but rather what? That's a little arithmetic. What's 12 into 900? No? Is it 75? Is it? 15
hours?
Yeah. 75. So every hour is going to be 75 minutes. So an hour and a quarter we call plaga minchas, but I think 93 and some for a quarter minute, some of that. So it's going to be a whole different series of zmanim. A whole different series of zmanim. The remainder of this maimer discusses the sugya in Masechta Pesachim. Those who want to look, feel free to do so at a series of different cheshbonos as to how we calculate the various zmanim. So here, this maimer that I just made reference to before, so the most important point that we said earlier, that Tarta de Sasri is really very difficult to justify, even within the Mishnah Berurah. I don't believe that he ever was matter of Tarta de Sasri to make tefillah b'tzibur, and even if he was, it's against most poskim in any event. That's the classical shita. But there are a number of shitas that we don't follow, la halacha, which are different, and we should not try to deny the existence of these other shitas. There's, of course, the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a whole different approach. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it seemed to me, as the Shagas I already said, you can daven Marv much later. Mincha much later. Daven Mincha, who knows, an hour plus after sunset, you can still be daven Mincha. And as a matter of fact, some shuls, they still do it. I was in a shtibul that long ago, they said, Yiddish, please don't organize any Mincha Minyanim more than an hour after shkita. Please. I think the reason they start daven Marv is so anyway, they want to have, you know. You're right. Unless they have some other cutoff that I don't know. Maybe they wait until 72 to daven Marv. I'm not sure what the chassidim do. I think they have some kind of hour cutoff. I'm not sure where the hour comes from. Maybe hour shkia shnia. Maybe the hour shkia. That's my big chiddush over here. That the cutoff point can not only be, well, we have the famous cutoffs of plaga mincha or astronomical sunset, what we call shkia, right? Or Rabbeinu Tam's tzeis. Those are obvious cutoff points. But there can be the in-between kind of points because it's so shkir. I believe there is some hold that way. The Magen Avraham may even hold that way. But there has to be some cutoff point, in my view, between Mincha and Marv. Otherwise, you run into a town that is asking a problem. I don't think it's worth compromising on, even for the sake of tefillah b'tzibur. That's how I came out. I don't see any other way, frankly. No, I just don't think of that any other way. So I believe, therefore, to summarize, that a Rav has a very serious responsibility. I mean, one of the most basic responsibilities of the Rabbanan is to make the calendar for the shul. You can't leave it to the people who make calendars. It's you. Revive this charif. But the buck stops here. The Rav's job to make the calendar. Now, you may have opposition and certain changes. Okay. So you have to know yes, I must confess. I will tell you that when I came into the shul, the first thing I did was I changed shachas from 9 o'clock to 8:30. During the honeymoon period. Yeah, those who ever had the honeymoon. Yeah, I'm at 8:30. It's crazy that I'm so late. And, the first couple of years, I was a chicken. I was still so young, and my bottom were entrenched. I almost had tongue to that before 8:30. I couldn't do it. So wait, Davin, Shmaro. They told me a big announcement. We'll say Shmaro early, right? Then gradually, you know, I started saying, you get used to the community gets used to you, and I started again. Okay, well, you know, it's really not right that shul's just ours, you know, it's pasnished. A shul like ours, that's so didactic, the mitzvahs, and it's fun, the shetavim, the shachris, in a way that we don't make this my krishma. So we started, then I got canceled, so I said, you have to be not fair to the people who are there. Whatever political move I used, it succeeded. They didn't throw me out. And, then Congress has helped me out ever since to make life easier for us. I also, I don't think there was a Tarta Sasri before I got there. I don't think so. But if had there been, I would not have allowed it. You have to know it. You're your own community. You come in as a young rav, you can't make too many changes at all. You just sort of tread water. But you should at least know what the proper manam are, so that when the time comes that you're going to be responsible, that you should discharge your responsibility properly. Very important. Yes.
There's more than one school in a community. Somebody asked whether it's more appropriate.
It's not even a question. Some daven the other shul. The board may fire you. So what? So what? If your shul does not make the right zman, the other shul does. Rabbi, what should I daven? You gotta tell them the truth. You have to have principles, gentlemen. Principles. I'll tell you an interesting story about this. It reminds me about what you, even if against your own shul. I told the story to Rabbi Lamb recently, this year. He never heard the story before. He was no way he could have heard the story. It was a gentleman who was in my shul 20 something years ago, an elderly person who had retired, man, he never married. He was living with his sister, was completely non observant. He became a Baal Tshuva. Somebody asked him once, what brought you to him? He was a manager for bands, music bands. It had nothing to do with Judaism. He's not brought up, nothing. He said, we asked him, where did you come? How did it happen? This is what he answered. He said, many, many years ago, he said Kaddish for one of his parents. It was at that time, I know exactly when it was. It was in the mid to late 50s, and he was in Springfield, Massachusetts. That's where he was living. And there was a young rabbi there, his name was Norman Lamb. Okay, so it's now 50 years ago. And he hears the rabbi get up and pound his fist on the table and say, Shabbos is the most important mitzvah. Obviously, the shul, there were not so much shmir shabbos. And he said, it's better to stay home and daven by yourself on Shabbos morning rather than drive to shul. And even if the shul is going to have a much smaller crowd, it's still much better that way. He was overwhelmed. How can it be? A young rabbi should speak on principle, which was against his own self-interest. Heaven knows, a young rabbi comes to build the community, to have a big crowd on Shabbos, shul, and there he's speaking out in principle, do not come to my shul. He wasn't saying go to another shul, he's saying stay home. It had such an impression that he became firm because of that. But then I know we have no way. This is 50 years ago. He made someone from because of his principle. He says, don't drive to shul on Shabbos. Stay home and we'll do it without you. We'll manage without you somehow. Rabbanim have to have principle. I understand you can't be unrealistic and you have to know where to bend and where to be flexible and where to, you know, how to deal with the community. But some principles you have to have. So if your shul, you're unable to get your shul to daven at the right time, and sometimes I want to daven at the shul at the right time, I say, of course go there. The board will hear about it. So yes, it's easily correctable. You also daven at the right time. You have another correction. What's that? You are fired. Okay. Also a correction, okay? So then, if that's, you know, principles. Believe me, the world we're living in is easier for Rabbanah than it was for Rabbi Lamb in 1956. Believe me. Any other questions? Yeah, nothing. All right, in a certain sense, I apologize. There's a lot of pilpulim that have completely been omitted. Those who want to look at these other sources that I have, should all be zocher to be mekadesh the zmanim in the proper way. Okay, can we have a mincha now? The right zman? The right zman for mincha? Who's this? Yours? Who's this? Anybody? Someone put it in left? How do you turn it off?